My name's Kurt Rosen. I'm Head of Innovation for Digital Isle of Man.
And what we're talking about is the Innovation Challenge 2025. Tell us about the challenge, first of all, Kurt. Where did this all start?
Well, we're in our third year of the challenge now. So we started this 2 years ago. And really, when we started off, this was all about fintech. I won't go into what fintech is specifically, but it was looking at financial technology that was being used in banks and places like that. And the Isle of Man had no real reputation for doing that. So we thought the best way to actually go and put us on the map was to invite people here who were doing innovative things. So you might call that a bit of a PR exercise, but it's a kind of necessary thing to do to lay out your stall and say, we're interested in these things. And an innovation challenge just seemed a perfect way to do that, because then we weren't prescribing about what was going to come over our doorstep, but we were looking for things that would attract attention, things that people here would go, wow, I'd never thought of doing that. And similarly, people from outside could come to the Isle of Man and learn about our community.
And presumably it's about those processes, particularly with fintech, that really streamline things and generally make life easier.
Generally, yes. But you'd also, you kind of put these things into two categories. There are things that are transformational. So they're taking something you already do and making it more efficient or making it easier to use. And then there are some things that come along in these that you've never even thought of doing. They're an original packaging of other ideas or completely new things. And that's the kind of wonder of this. I've kind of said it before, I'm an aged person in this industry, so kind of 38 years of watching innovations come through, you think nothing new can come across the doorstep. Every year I've been surprised with this. I've never thought of doing that, and if I haven't thought of doing it, then lots of other people haven't. So that's what's really exciting about it.
So you had that first year when it was focused on fintech, and then last year for the 2024 challenge, it expanded slightly.
We did. So what we did at that point was say, actually, we wanted to relate it more to the agencies that we've got, and particularly three agencies. So in the first year, fintech was led by digital, with the finance agency actually participating. In the second year, we split it into three categories, and one is directly overlaid on each of those the agencies that we have. So clean tech was related to the business agency, fintech to the finance agency, and data and AI to the digital agency. And then just on top of that, to make it even more interesting, we added the element of the biosphere. So we said, well, central to all of that is the fact we are living and breathing inside a biosphere. And what we mean by that, or the definition of a biosphere, is how you find balance between people, environment and economy. And actually, economy is left off these things quite often. So we've made all the finalists actually think about that statement. So last year, for example, we were very lucky to have Mercedes Group actually as one of our finalists. But we gave them that question and said, OK, as Mercedes, how would you live inside a biosphere and meet those values? And that was a really tricky question for them. But in doing that, we created this biosphere award, which goes across all of the categories as well. So we actually had four awards last year, where in the one before we had three. So we're kind of expanding its use every year. Now, this year is very similar, but we've actually thought about a little bit more about how we create those finalists, how we curate them along the way. And this year, there's not quite so much a government focus as has been in previous years. It's a lot more about what individuals could use and what normal businesses could use. We're trying to adapt it every year to make it interesting, and we get different people every time.
So tell us how you get these people then. How do they find out about the challenge? How do they put their names forward?
Well, the first year was obviously the hardest because we had no track record to go on. And we did have the help of some of our partners in setting that up. But really, that was almost opening up your own book of contacts and saying, there's something going on. Are you or anybody who's associated with you interested? In the second year, we had a wonderful cohort in the first year that went off and recommended this experience to lots of people in the places that they came from. So it kind of was a little bit self-perpetuating there. This year, even more so. What we've got now is people who sometimes see their first approach to the Isle of Man is to go through the challenge, because they've seen that as a wonderful way to get attention very quickly and to engage with our community.
How many finalists are there this year?
There are 15. Actually, our largest cohort of finalists that we've had. So five in each of the three categories. And then we've got this, as I said, a Biosphere Award that spans all of them. So any of them could win that. And just to illustrate that particular point, last year the Biosphere winner was actually an educational AI solution. And people would go, well, that doesn't make any sense. AI is a techie thing. Why is that related to Biosphere? Well, it's because of that balance that we talked about. What they were actually doing or are doing now, they're actually working on this here, is looking at using AI to take administrative tasks away from teachers so they can teach face-to-face. So it's actually giving more face time with the children, which is obviously a thing that tech can't do. So it's taking the advantage of both. That's why we thought it was a very good Biosphere winner.
And presumably you've got these 15 finalists, but there will have been scores of others who'd been hoping to be part of the challenge.
From all over the world, some very interesting ones. We had quite a lot of interest from Africa this time. And we've obviously got very strong links with South Africa, but there are other places as well. And lots of organisations that weren't quite ready this year, but perhaps they might be next year. And we've been very forthright with them. And we don't, anybody who enters the whole challenge never gets to a point where we abandon them. Even if they don't become finalists, we maintain a relationship with them. We try and help as much as we can and certainly give them advice as to, well, this application didn't quite make it over the line, but let us tell you why so you can think about that for the next time.
So who has the job then of judging the finalists and deciding who the winners are going to be?
That gets asked a lot, especially by the finalists. I think they're wanting to influence them along the way. We have four judges. Three of them related to the themes are from the boards of the agencies. So they're board members. So they're kind of representing their agency. And then one more, and that would be an easy one to name, Jason Bissell. As chair of Biosphere here, he's looking at the kind of Biosphere side of it. They all vote for everybody, but each one has a kind of pet category that they're looking at. I won't name the other three, and we'll leave that as a surprise for the day.
Well, on the day then, this finale day, which is taking place at the Comus Hotel, how does it work? Talk us through the structure of that.
Okay, so each finalist gets 10 minutes to pitch on the stage. Although I'm beginning to regret this statement already, I have said to them they need to be entertaining. And some of them are taking that very seriously and getting very theatrical about what they're going to do on the day. But that's fine. That's part of it. So the kind of structure we have is kind of a little bit like Dragon's Den in a way. There will be a table of judges who will be sitting at the front of the stage listening to what's being said. But those judges will also have taken into account the applications, the interviews we've done. They'll be looking at the whole history of how they got to that point on the stage and then looking at what happens on there. And they get to vote against those, so they get to score those. We also have an ability for the audience to vote. And actually, on the day, although some scores carry through, it's half and half. Half is related to the judges, half is related to the audience. So the way we kind of present that to the finalist is the judges are kind of voting with their head and the audience is voting with their heart on what they see on the day. So they've got a really tricky balance to find of how to navigate both of those two different stakeholders.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because you're not just talking to the experts who totally understand the field, but people who perhaps aren't necessarily associated with those particular award areas. And it needs to be relevant for them, I guess.
It's a skill. If we're getting anything out of this, what we're doing with these finalists is taking them through a journey and wrapping our community around them and saying, well, we'll help make you better. Whether you're going to exist here or whether you're going to exist anywhere else, that's not material. We want to show that we can contribute so they can be ambassadors for us around the world, saying, if you're building something new, it's a fantastic place to go. But in that, I do something very cruel to them, is when they first become finalists, and we have a kind of two-month process of working with them before they get to the actual finals day, I make every one of them do a two-minute video to pitch. And then at the end, we video the 10-minute pitch that they do on the stage, and we say, so now look at the difference between the two. Look at what you presented at the start of this process and look at where you've evolved to with the help of mentors and people from here. And all of them, without exception, kind of go, wow, that's chalk and cheese. Presenting to the audience, presenting to all of those things, is something, a skill that they have to acquire if they're going to further their business. They've got to be able to pitch to investors. They've got to be able to pitch to people who want to buy their product. So it's a fantastic learning exercise that people appreciate, and appreciate they're able to do it in safety. I mean, we're not trying to catch them out. What we're trying to do is say, let us show how we can make you better. And even if you don't decide to come to the Isle of Man, and nobody has to do that, if you go out in the world and become a raging success, then we'll claim a little bit of that success and say, well, we helped you on that journey and the Isle of Man did that for you.
And I think it's interesting from the public's point of view to know that these sort of challenges are going ahead. And what is the underlying benefit to that? And obviously the Isle of Man's reputation as a place to do business is always something that government is very keen to push forward. I guess you'd say from your experience so far with the challenge over the past 3 years, it is now, that is happening.
It is. And we've had some businesses that have chosen to relocate here. So a number each year, just of their own volition, go, this is a good place to work, a good place to build our business and move to the Isle of Man. So that's always a good thing. And we also have a lot of side benefits of that. I think all of the winners of this have actually got some type of engagement, either with a local business here or with government. So they've actually got, if you like, a contract out of this. Now, we've not prescribed.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Newscast with me, Beth Espy. And this is all about the Innovation Challenge 2025. If you haven't heard of this initiative, we're going to explain exactly what it is, who takes part, and what the benefits are for the Isle of Man.
That up front, we've not said that that's part of the prize, but people have been impressed and embraced them and said, yeah, okay, we should acquire that in some way. So that's always incredibly positive, particularly if it's truly innovative, because not only are they getting the benefit of a sale, if you like, but we're getting the benefit of being at the leading edge of technology, people bringing things to us, as I said, that we hadn't thought about before.
And I think, again, from the public's point of view, what they want to know are things like this justify the cost of them.
Always very hard to quantify costs and return in this way, but I'd say we're now recognised as an innovation place. And that's a very good place to be when the world is just full of innovation. And we have to do less of a selling job of saying, well, here are all the things that we collect together and make us a good place to be, because people can see that. It becomes much more evident. So lots of spin-off benefits, lots of what we call good PR for the Isle of Man. And for all the right reasons, because we're being here, because we're helping, because we're not being prescriptive about how to do that, we're being genuine about our community approach. That's what we want to convey out there, and this is a fantastic mechanism to do that.
And with the awards as well, there's also support from local businesses and charities as well. I know Beach Buddies, for example, is one of those that's supporting an award this year.
Yeah. What we've done is related each sponsor. Now, I'd hasten to add they're not paying us money in that sense. We're kind of giving them the opportunity to participate. With each of those, they've taken that really seriously and said, well, this is a fabulous opportunity, one, to get our message across, but also to participate in something that they believe is a good thing to do. And all of those in some way could be, let's call them customers of some of the solutions that are being brought up here. So it's a wonderful virtuous circle in this.
And there's a keynote speaker on Thursday as well.
There is. An interesting person who's worked in the world of politics and various parts of UNESCO, etc. I'll let people go to our Eventbrite site and have a look and see the credentials there. But again, what we're not trying to do is pitch a business or anything of that nature, but think about things. Actually give some thought to a process, particularly around biosphere and our take on that. And bring in people who, when you listen to their speeches, you'll go, I hadn't quite thought of things that way. We want to provoke people thinking about things in a new light and in a positive light.
How pleased are you that you're not one of the judges on the day?
Well, I've kind of been a judge up until now. I was participating in who came through to be a finalist in the first place. I think they've got a challenge in their own right. This is probably the closest that I've seen. And I can say that with certainty, because we've got a kind of scoring that goes into it, and they're very, very close. So genuinely, every single person in this has got a chance of winning. And I think that's quite unusual for a challenge as well. I actually had one finalist asked me outright the other day, well, what are my chances of winning? And I said, well, you're in a category of five, so it's 20%. And they went, oh, that wasn't quite what I meant. I don't know what you meant. But genuinely, you could win it. Anybody could win it. And a lot is going to be what happens on that day.
And what do the winners get?
They get a few things. One is kudos. And we help them with PR and advertising and pushing that out to the world to say, you've won this. And actually, that has greater value than you probably think. Certainly, one of the winners in the first year did an excellent job of going around the world, almost with their trophy, saying, and we won this. And that got them a load of credence, which was super, great for us. Because being awarded something by a government is slightly different to being awarded it by a magazine or something of that nature. There's what people would perceive as a lot more due diligence that goes behind that. And they also get a fantastic trophy. We had a problem last year where the trophies, because they're made of stone from here, genuinely a piece of the Isle of Man that people are taking away if they don't come from the Isle of Man, got stopped at the airport as offensive weapons by the security. So this year we're dealing with that. We're looking at that in advance or posting the things out. So they get the beautiful trophy they can take away and put in their reception. And they do get some further assistance. So we will be helping them with PR in particular and giving them some facilities here to just help the winners along on their journey. But primarily it's about that kudos, I think.
And it's not exclusive to people not from the Isle of Man. Presumably, you would accept people from over here?
Well, interestingly, this year we've got the highest proportion of Isle of Man entrants that we've ever had. So not far off half the entrants are actually from the Isle of Man. Now, we didn't design it that way. There's no preference given to them. They just came up with the most innovative ideas out of the set we saw. So it's open worldwide. We've got, I think, six countries represented this year. In the actual application set, we had close to 30 different countries things came from. Gave you a horrible challenge when you were looking at, well, one of our entrants is actually from Singapore. So all of our events that we had in those 2 months have had to start at kind of 9 o'clock on the dot so they can just be included in those. But that's a challenge for us, not a challenge for them.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.